And now we're going to speak with Paul Ellis. Paul is the group president at CNL. He is in charge of, what do you do there, Paul?
I run the commercial real estate platform.
You got to talk into the mic.
Okay, I run the commercial real estate platform.
And what does that run around, Paul?
We do property management, brokerage. We also have a development and investment business. And so today we're all over the Southeast. We're in all the markets in Florida and the Carolinas and Texas.
Okay, so then if you're all over the state of Florida, the Carolina, and Texas, and you're in all the product types, and you're a brokerage services and investment company, what is your most profitable line of business right now? And I'm going to count to three to give you a chance to think about it. One, two, three. Okay, well, what's the fastest growing part of your business today?
Our property management business has grown. We started the company in 2007 with 12 former partners at Trammell Crow Company. Today, we started the company in 2007. CNL sponsored us, and we started at zero. Today, 8 years later, we're over 20 million square feet in leasing and management, and we have 175 people.
Wow. So you're growing, you're hiring people, they're property management people, they're asset managers, they're also brokers. It sounds to me like what you're really doing is running a real estate services business.
That's correct.
He keeps answering before I can stick the mic in front of him. You know, you do great real estate, but you do horrendous radio, Paul. You do. He's saying, I know. He does. Now, Paul, you're based here in Orlando, but you said that the firm operates throughout the southeastern United States. What's the number one trend that you're seeing today in southeast real estate, and you cannot say apartments?
We really like the office space. I mean, the office market right now, we've actually acquired about $100 million of office assets in South Florida and other markets in Texas. And quite frankly, we really like the opportunities that we're seeing right now.
Now, I want to give a shout out to my friend Price Elam. What do you think about the retail market? And since Price isn't here, I'm going to make you answer and make Price grit his teeth.
You know, we like all product types. There's a difference between what we like and what we can actually buy.
Okay.
So, and certainly one of the reasons we like office is because it feels like we're moving into a build cycle. You know, it certainly feels like we're starting to see more demand and we're starting to see asset appreciation above replacement cost.
I'd even say that a lot of these office sites have been developed as multifamily, which means it'll be a limit to supply in the future of office. And that's what's really, to me, driving office across the country, actually, is as these urban areas, what you might call Manhattanize, then a lot of the former office sites are being built for apartments or condos, which means that the existing office and future office pads are much more valuable. Are you advising tenants to lock up now?
I don't think there's any doubt that all of the rental rates and all of the markets are increasing and on the office side. I mean, I don't think there's any question right now. And in fact, as you know, South Florida behaves one way, and North Florida and the rest of the Southeast behaves the other. When we think of the Southeast, there's really only two Tier 1 markets in the Southeast, right? You've got Atlanta and you've got Miami. I think most people would say those are the really true Tier 1 markets. All of the other markets are they're great, but they're relatively small. And so when you see rental rate appreciation, it jumps, it spikes. It doesn't move up 2 to 3% a year. All of a sudden, it'll jump $2 to $3 to $4 a square foot. And we're certainly seeing that in Orlando, and we're certainly seeing that in Charlotte and some of the Tier 2 markets.
Now, is that in full occupancy cost, or is that in base rate only?
Base rate.
Wow, so that means that somebody's office could go up, cost could go up even higher if they've got expenses and stuff included.
That's correct.
He keeps on answering before I can get my microphone over there. You know, you're quick on the trigger. I'm not going to talk about
it. I have a face for radio, so.
Everybody's allowed to only say that once on the show. Yeah, it's okay, Paul.
How many times does that happen?
Every single time I got somebody ugly on like you. Now, you're in Orlando. I just drove up and down I-4. It was crazy. I remember when I used to live in Orlando, you could actually drive on I-4. Today at lunchtime, I-4 going into Orlando stopped for absolutely no reason other than I guess it's clogged with tourists. How's the tourist industry up here these days?
Well, number one, it's only going to get worse on I-4 for the next decade.
Why?
Because of the I-4 construction project. The expansion of I-4 is going to take the next decade. So it's going to be like I-95.
Wow. Actually, I don't think that that's that bad if you're not driving. Now, if you're driving, you're absolutely out of your mind. Right. Now, are they going to expand I-4? Because I-4 is an incredibly valuable arterial roadway for everybody in Central Florida, and it connects all kinds of things.
Yeah, they'll expand it. I think they're going to create some HOV lanes. They're going to I'm not exactly sure the exact scope, but I think you're probably going to end up with 16 lanes, you know, in on I-4.
Wow, so it really is turning into I-95, and this is in the tourist area south of Orlando. How about north of Orlando, where it seems that the road is a little bit more constrained?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Seminole County is much denser, if you will, from population standpoint, and so it'll absolutely go all the way through DeLand and those markets as well.
Wow, sounds like I should be buying property up in DeLand.
No, you should be buying property in Orlando.
From you, too, right?
Exactly.
I love this guy. Absolutely a shameless huckster the entire way through. Now, Paul, we've talked about CNL is growing. What type of people are you looking to hire there?
You know, it's across the whole spectrum. I think, you know, the firm that we're building is one that we believe it's very entrepreneurial. We're very proud and excited about a culture that we have that's attractive to people. So, I mean, the people that we tend to attract out of other platforms tend to be a lot more entrepreneurial. They tend to be a little bit more senior, that they're not, and they tend to be more creative. So I think that's probably a good snapshot.
Wow, sounds like everybody wants to think they're all the things that you just described. Now, Jim, your chairman is speaking at the conference tomorrow. I'm not going to ask you what he's... Huh?
Tom,
oh gosh, I'm just off my game today.
Okay.
but he's speaking later today. I don't want you to give away his speech, but why does CNL support the Bertram Center for Real Estate Studies at the University of Florida?
Well, so CNL is a 40-year company, and it has a long history. At its core, though, is Jim Senef, who is a great American story. Started the company with a $5,000 loan from his father, and at his
so there was a Jim involved here.
There was a Jim.
Okay, there usually is in anything good.
There still is a Jim. There still is a Jim, and he is the executive chairman. Tom Sinema, who will speak tomorrow, runs the CNL platform. But at its heart and soul is Jim Senef, who was a real estate practitioner, who, you know, once read in an article in the, you know, Orlando Sentinel a long time ago that said downtown's dead, downtown Orlando's dead, and started buying up land in downtown Orlando. Very contrarian, very classic story. So at the end of the day, though, while CNL is a very diverse business, it is a real estate business at its heart. So anything that we can do to support the real estate community, and certainly we're big supporters of the University of Florida's system. We're big supporters of Florida State system, as well as University of Miami.
So it sounds to me like a quality real estate environment and ecosystem only benefits people like CNL.
That's correct. We love, and look, I mean, at the end of the day, we all love the industry. We love what we do. We love the relationships, and we love the people in this industry.
Yeah, we're all nuts, but we love each other.
That's right.
Just before we go, you're the chairman of the conference. You put this together, you kind of got a vision, you had a vision. What is the message that you want the attendees to take away from the conference?
Just one message?
Could be two. Okay. I got time for two.
So I think the overall message is that we have perhaps one of the most attractive programs in the country, that we have a board that we want people to be a part of. We want the real estate industry to be a part of. And I think at the end of the day, too, from a market standpoint, that it's, you know, it's a pretty exciting time right now. We've been waiting for, you know, somewhere like 6-7 years to get back to this point, and the markets are back and they're heated up again.
Yeah, I had hair when we had a market the last time. Yeah, I know. But you got a face for radio now. I said it, and now we're both out of it. Now, you were talking about supporting the University of Florida programs. I know you're very involved with the other schools as well, and you run the CNL commercial real estate platform. What skill set did you develop that helped you rise to the point of being able to bring the Trammell Crow platform to heights it had never seen before and then move that over to CNL? What do you think is the one thing that you could give students or young people that are listening that could be one, I know there's a bunch, but one of the keys to success that has really helped you build your firm to where it is today, one of the top real estate services firms in the country?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is, in your first choice in your career, to find an opportunity where a mentor will pour their life into you. And if there's anything that I, I can't say to you honestly that that was my strategy when I graduated from college, but I was fortunate to have two guys in Woody Coley and Chip Lilly that when I was hired, poured their life into me, taught me the industry, taught me the business. They were both honest enough to say there are some things that we're really, really bad at and you shouldn't do those things. There's some things we're really, really good at and you should do those things. And if we've done anything well in our organization, it's we've kept that kind of mentor-mentee culture alive. And so as people come into our organization, we want two or three senior guys pouring into it.
Well, I have something for you. I have a KISS.
Huge part of this success of this conference today and tomorrow, and a huge part of the success of this program. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Usually D can see me. I'm giving you the heads up, D. I'm getting ready. I'm lifting my hand. I'm pointing the finger. We'll be right back after this short break. D, take it away.